Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to talk Lakers on the rise and Doc's Bucks falling again to Memphis at home. And Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, joke or legit? That's debatable. LaVar Ball saying he has no regrets about his involvement in his son's careers. That's also somewhat debatable. And are the Texans now the best team in Texas? You know where that's going to go. But first up, let us talk about the team that traded Stephon Diggs to the Texans. The Athletic reports that the Bills were just, quote unquote, worn out with Stephon Diggs' behavior. Finally decided he was just more trouble than he's worth. Yet, soon after Diggs was traded to Houston, the Bills' Super Bowl odds dropped fairly significantly, while the Texans' odds rose fairly significantly. So, Keyshawn Johnson, good morning to you,
What's
sir.
What's happening, Skippy?
Here we go. Will the Bills ultimately look back at trading Stephon Diggs as a big mistake?
No, I don't think they'll look back at it as a big mistake at all. Because he's a talent that the Texans will benefit from. Okay, the Buffalo Bills didn't benefit from his talent.
Okay, that's one way to look at it.
Okay, yeah. They only went so far.
So you think he'll be a better fit in Houston than he was
way
in Buffalo?
Way better fit okay. in Houston. He's happy in Houston. He was not happy in Buffalo.
And why do you think that was?
Well, because when you're a situation and everything is built around your quarterback that isn't getting the same criticism and the same okay. vitriol as
yep.
you
fair.
May as a player,
That's
you
fair.
Look at that and you say, and this is ridiculous. You know, they're making it seem as though everything that's gone on wrong in Buffalo is Stephon Diggs' problem.
Okay.
Not Josh Allen's problem. They boost Josh Allen up to a whole nother level.
Who's they? Fans and media?
Fans and media. Yeah. That's what they do.
Not executives, not front office,
no, not
coaches.
Not necessarily yeah. coaches okay. in front office, but when you are in a situation like Stephon Diggs, where you out there trying to do your best, trying to do everything, and all of a sudden, things aren't going the way it's supposed to, the first thing the camera points to is you, because you may have an outburst, and now you become a problem, okay? Teams don't trade for you with high draft compensation if they deem you a problem. Yeah, his welcome was worn out in Buffalo because he and the quarterback didn't see eye to eye.
They did not.
Because he could see what the quarterback was doing wrong. The fans and the media can't see what the quarterback is doing wrong. They don't know. They just think he's pouting because he wants the football put in his hands. Clearly, when you look at his numbers over the time, the 4 years that he's been there, Josh Allen has been an exceptional quarterback. Since having Stephon Diggs in the lineup. And prior to that, it was a question mark on whether or not they should have drafted Josh Allen. So it goes hand in hand. Okay, when I say they're not going to miss him, you can get production out of guys. You can get the production out of a bunch of guys. You just throw the ball to one or two or three guys. They're not going to be able to do the things that Stephon Diggs does, though, out on the football field.
Yep.
That's just not going to happen. I mean, certain guys are one-of-ones, and he's a one-of-one in terms of his ability to get up the field, his ability to catch the football, his ability to break tackles, score touchdowns. You go and you look at his numbers in the 4 years in receptions, he was number one in the league over that four-year span. In yards, he was four, over 5,000 yards, and he was fourth tied in touchdowns with 37. That's a lot of production in those 4 years. Every single year, they would go to the playoffs, and for whatever reason, he didn't get the opportunities, whether he was getting open, the quarterback was looking for him, or they were calling the right plays to get him the football. I don't know. I'm not in that room. But from the outside, looking at the situation, it was going to blow up eventually. It just was.
Yep.
And then yesterday, prior to them trading him, he responded to a fan, or 2 days ago, he responds to a fan that says that Josh Allen, you know, basically Josh Allen's career is not hinged on Stephon Diggs. It's basically Stephon Diggs, I'm paraphrasing, said, okay, are you sure?
Are you sure about
are you
that?
Sure? Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
And in the end, he was shipped off to
and that was
a better
it.
Place.
Maybe that was the final nail.
Better place. Know. Better yeah. roster. Yeah. Better, in my opinion, better coach. You know, all of those things. Could be better quarterback. Could be. C.J. Stroud, I mean, C.J. Stroud right there, even though he's a rookie, he's got to do it over a longer period of time. But his rookie year was something to be remembered.
I cannot disagree with that conclusion. But I am not going to condemn the Buffalo Bills for trading Stephon because I do believe they finally hit the point of no return. And when that happens within an organization, and I do think they have a strong organization there. I think Brandon Bean is very good at what he does because he built a very good football team. It hinges on how far can the quarterback take them ultimately, and it hinges on a Josh Allen who I've never been the biggest believer in Josh. I did like the way he played down the stretch last year, and ironically, Stephon was not that involved in the offense over the last, what did they go? They came out of their bye, and they won five straight, six straight with the wild card. And they played Kansas City tough. They played them fairly close in the playoff game at home. It was at home, and they lost at home to the eventual Super Bowl champion. But the point is, if I look at Stephon's numbers down the stretch, that they wiped out my Dallas Cowboys, obviously 31-10. He had 48 yards in that game, but he had 24 yards against Kansas City, Chargers 24, New England 26 yards. So he was falling out of the offense at that point, in part because he and the quarterback were just not on the same page anymore, and that's Josh Allen's decision not to throw him the football as much.
Remember also, they switched coordinators.
They did.
And they switched styles.
In midstream.
They did. Yep. All of a sudden, when they switched the coordinators,
yep,
his production completely went away.
And they went back to running the ball quite a bit more. Okay, I give you all that. All right. We did this on the fly yesterday, and then I looked harder at Stephon's career. All right. He is very good, and I'm buying this point that you made. This may be that seminal move, that flashpoint moment for the Houston Texans where they look back at it and say, well, the Stephon trade was the catalyst for us winning a Super Bowl. They could. If they win a Super Bowl in the next, I don't know, couple, 3 years, you'd look back at this as the turning point moment in their history, right?
The crazy thing about it is they could have got out of the AFC last year.
Well, they could have.
They could have gotten out of there.
All right. Well, you like them.
They had a young quarterback.
You already said that you like them now going into next year even more than you like Baltimore.
Yeah.
Which I can't, I just can't take CJ
the odds
over
maker. You do understand
Lamar.
The odds maker have them flipped. Kansas City, Baltimore, Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I flipped it to Houston,
yeah.
Baltimore.
I mean, you got Houston one notch below the defending champs.
Yeah. And, okay. and the odds makers, the betting people say they're third in the conference.
Yeah.
I say second.
Okay.
Same to me.
All right, but my point about Baltimore is when you add Derrick Henry, that was a huge move for him, but they lost a lot.
They
lost three offensive linemen. They lost Patrick Queen. They lost, Jadeveon Clowney and Geno Stone and Gus Edwards. They lost a lot.
OBJ.
OBJ's not going back. That's
you
right.
Know.
Okay? All right, I got you. Now, back to how good is Stephon Diggs?
Really good.
Is he top of the top? Is he top echelon?
Oh, yeah. Top five receiver in the league.
Okay, I can't put him with Tyreek, and I can't put him with Devontae Adams. And look at what they brought trade-wise. When finally Kansas City said we can't pay Tyreek what he wants and they ship him to Miami, look what they got back. They got a first, a second, two fourths, and a sixth for Tyreek, and then Miami had to pay Tyreek.
But you can't make your assumption based on a trade that he's not at that level just because at that time a deal was struck with a team to get more compensation.
I'm just showing you on the open market, Miami jumped with both feet into that deal.
Yeah, because Miami was looking for something. They was looking for electricity in a certain speed. They felt we want a track team.
Okay.
This is what we
all
want.
Right. And they got one. Devontae to the Raiders. That was for a first and a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, but he's worth every last penny of that. And whatever you had to pay him, he's worth every red cent of that. Both of those guys, Tyreek and Devontae. Mm-hmm. I think they're on a plateau slightly above Stephon. I'm not sure Stephon.
That may be the case. He's a top five receiver.
Okay. So Stephon, shockingly, gets only back for them a second round pick, not this draft, which I still can't believe. If it were in this draft, I'd say, well, okay, you got me. Because they need to get healthy again fast. You know, they need to restock the cupboard fast.
But
it's next year. It's 25 draft.
But that, you got to remember Brandon Bean, who I know extremely well. He may package that pick up and go in the draft this year and do something. He may take that 25 second round pick, put it with something, and because he's known to do that.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about trading, you got to go back to looking at when they acquired him from Minnesota. They gave up a lot to get him from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because they saw him as a certain player. That, right. And that's just what it is. But when you are a depreciating asset to a team that basically says, we want to get rid of him, what do you want to do? And somebody says, we'll give you a two.
Because that's all that the market would bear. That was it.
With that conversation, when they know you don't want somebody, you're not going to get what you should get.
All right. So now let's look at Stephon in the postseason. Let's look at what's happened to him. He's played 14 postseason games, and his teams are 7-7. Well, obviously, it's a dependent position that you played at the highest level. So you can't put it all on him or even half of it on him. But he participated in 7 wins and 7 losses. He's averaged 65 yards a game in the postseason, which is not great. It's not bad, but it's not great. He has had 4 100-plus yard games in the postseason. 3 of those were in Minnesota and 1 in Buffalo. And his team won all 4 of those games. So when he goes over 100, good things are going to happen. All right, now let's look at Josh Allen with Stephon. And this is the ultimate argument here, and it's the classic chicken or egg argument. Again, if you look at Buffalo's history, in the previous 19 seasons to Stephon coming from Minnesota to Buffalo, the previous 19 Buffalo seasons, they never had a double-digit win season. Stephon walks in the door, and you know what started happening, 13-3, and that was in 2020, and then 11-6, then 13-3, and last year, 11-6 again. That's pretty great. So you had 4 straight double-digit win seasons. Now look at your quarterback. Again, I haven't been the biggest fan, but I did think he played well down the stretch last year, and he won some of me back over. So what has he done in the 4 Stephon years? Chicken or egg? Help me out here. He's ranked 3rd in QBR in 2020, then 6th the next year, then 2nd 2 years ago, and then last year he was 3rd in QBR. If I average out his QBR over the 4 years with Stephon, he's averaged the 3rd highest QBR in football. That is sensational, and that's the best of any quarterback over a 4-year span. So you gave me Stephon's side of the story, and I'm giving you Josh's side of the story back because boy, he was really good. Highest level. He obviously, those numbers suggest that he's a top 5 quarterback. Well, he doesn't have much to show for it in the postseason. But
what I would say is I've seen Josh Allen without Stephon Diggs, and I've seen him with Stephon Diggs. I've seen him without him, and I've seen him with him.
Okay, here's what they're saying.
And I've seen Stephon Diggs without Josh Allen in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not worried about Stephon Diggs as much as I'm worried about Josh Allen.
Okay, are you saying...
Without Stephon Diggs.
Is Stephon more valuable than Josh Allen to you?
No, he's not more... He's a quarterback. He's not more valuable. No, not at all. But I've also seen him without Stephon Diggs. And he didn't look the same.
But when you saw him without Stephon Diggs, he was still a very young quarterback.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But that's no excuse to look a certain way, you know, because you're young. C.J. Stroud was young.
Yep. No, I understand.
I mean, we could point to a lot of young quarterbacks.
Here's my gut feeling about this, and it's a close call, but I think Josh is a little better at his position than Stephon is at his position. Just a little better overall, the whole package of Josh with the arm and the legs, because as you know, he will take off and he will run through people and over people.
Yeah, he's probably, they're both in the top 5, however you want to slice the bread. They both are top 5 at their position.
All right, so if you were Brandon Bean, if you were the owner of the Buffalo Bills, would you have tried to somehow?
I've already tried that. I tried it for 2 years, 3 years.
But would you try to figure it out with the two?
We've already tried that.
Would you lock them in a room?
We already tried that. We did that already.
Yeah. So you're done.
We came to the conclusion that we paid a quarterback $200 million that is going to be here for the next 10 years.
He is.
And we could get a receiver to do similar things, not same things.
No.
But it could be running catch by committee.
Yeah, and by the way, they did sign Curtis Samuel, and he is not Stephon Diggs, but he's not bad. He's not bad.
He can do certain things.
And I told you, I have loved Dalton Kincaid, and he was pretty good as a rookie, and I think he'll be very good next year.
It's easier to replace the body of Stephon Diggs, but it's not easy to replace the production and what he means to a quarterback. Having played that position and been traded myself before, okay, for two number ones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New York Jets is still trying to replace me, and I left there in 2000. They still trying to figure out, because it ain't all about the statistics.
That kid they got from Ohio State's pretty good.
Again, yeah. It ain't all about the statistics. Yeah. It's about the whole entire package. You know what I'm saying, Skip? It's about the intensity. It's about the passion that you bring to the game.
I agree.
It's about all of those sort of things. Yep. And at some point, sometimes your quarterback can't handle those things in that confrontation. So what you got to do is you got to remove the player away from the quarterback, because you don't want the quarterback being mentally hurt because he's mentally fragile because the receiver is getting in his rear end all the time.
Yep. No, I agree. And I completely.
Because it's called protecting the quarterback.
It is. And I completely agree with your premise that we started off with, that the media, the fans, they're going to side with the quarterback. And it's always going to be the receiver's fault. You know,
and they should. Yeah. He's a hell of a player.
He is a hell of a player.
But this has now added more stress and heat on his ass now, though. Because if you don't take them and move them in the right direction where they're trying to get to, now people are going to start looking at him side-eye. Because as you mentioned, their Super Bowl odds just plummeted, right? They just went down.
They did. They dropped significantly.
One guy leaves, they drop.
That is correct.
One guy goes to the Texans, it goes up. Yep. That same guy that everybody is saying is a problem.
Yep.
I don't know how that works out. How did that get to that?
I completely agree with you. The onus now, the spotlight, and it is a hot spotlight, falls upon the Buffalo quarterback.
Absolutely.
Going into next year, everybody's going to say, okay, show us.
Yeah.
Was it all you? So take some. I don't know who else they're going to acquire, but they better go get somebody. I look down who's still left on
well,
the
Well, Davis
receiver.
Is gone.
Yeah. I know. They lost Gabe Davis.
They lost Stephon Diggs.
They lost their two best receivers. Shakir is still there.
Yeah, Shakir's there,
and I mentioned Curtis Samuel. So who's left on the market? OBJ is still sitting out there. I don't know that he'd want to go to Buffalo.
They probably draft one of the guys.
That probably will. Our guy Michael Gallup's out there. Hunter Renfro's, Tyler Boyd's still out there. That's a possibility. I mean, a lot of these receivers would want to play with Josh Allen. I don't know if they'd love playing in Buffalo, but they'd want to play with Josh Allen.
Buffalo's a great city, man.
You like it? Did you enjoy playing there? Did you play in the snow?
I played in the snow. My first cold game was in Buffalo.
Was it?
Not good.
Of your life?
Because Washington State, stuff like that, wasn't as cold as that. That was something different.
And
it didn't work out so well.
You had a bad game?
Very bad game.
Not enjoyable?
It might have been the worst game of my career.
You have to accept that. Okay, so to me, I look at Buffalo, and I look at how solid management, ownership is, coaching staff is. It's a good organization.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a great one, but it's a good one. Their defense, if they can get healthy, especially with Matt Milano, if he can come back, they'll be a top, I'm going to go 10. They'll be a top 10 defense because he's a good defensive football coach.
Yeah, the problem that Buffalo has is they got a couple bad contracts that they still paying the price on.
Yep.
Tre'Davious White's contract.
They do.
Von Miller's not the same Von Miller.
No, but he's still there.
Those are bad contracts. You can't get from underneath those deals. Yeah.
And
that's the problem.
And speaking of contracts, they were so anxious to get out from under Stephon, they're going to eat an all-time record for a non-quarterback, $30 million in dead cap hit, because they said enough is enough. But $30 million, no non-quarterback has ever been dealt and had his team have to eat more dead cap money than that. That's a lot. So, Keyshawn, they just said flat out, we can't do this anymore. Under no circumstance we will eat whatever we have to eat to get out from under.
Yeah, it's a $31.1 million number for next season, which is a lot, which is a lot. But you could sense going back 2 years that the relationship had already soured. You asked me about what would I do. They already visited that, though, Skip. They've already sat in the room. They've already sat down with him, sat down with Josh Allen, tried to figure it out, tried to work it out. And in the end, I'm sure Stephon Diggs is just like Josh Allen, probably said, you know what, man, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
This isn't for me.
Okay, so Stephon is 30. Mm-hmm. He'll be 31 in November. Is he on the backside of his career, or is he still at the backside of his prime? How would you sort of term where he
probably,
is?
I would probably say that he's nice and ripe.
Yeah.
He's right there.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned his numbers in the second half of the season. They changed the system in the offense.
They did.
Okay.
Plus, he and Josh just fell completely apart.
They fell completely apart, but a lot of it had to do with them moving on from Ken Dorsey as a coordinator.
They did.
Because they were pass heavy.
They were.
And so they decided, okay, that's not the way we win here anymore. We're going to win this type of way because we have a running quarterback and we don't want him throwing the football 50 times a game because he'll give it to the other team multiple times. So
he does.
That hurts your production. So I don't think his all of a sudden the player Stephon Diggs is less than he was at the start of the season. It just doesn't work that way. You can't look at six games at the back end of the season. You got to look at the entire season. You got to look at everything that they're doing. This is why the Texans traded for him. They studied him. They watched him. They said, we can use that.
Definitely.
And it can help our young quarterback. Because what you won't do and what you should ever do is take a problem and give it to a young quarterback. He's not a problem. That's why the Texans acquired him. Because whatever he was in Buffalo, D'Amico Ryans and company think they can handle it and it'll be fine.
Okay, although he did have some issues in Minnesota and he obviously had more issues in Buffalo.
His issues in Minnesota was they was paying Thielen all that money.
That is correct.
And wasn't paying him, and he was producing at a high clip.
Okay.
That was the issue.
Okay, so there's some spotlight now on Stephon going to the young Texans where you need to be on your best behavior. You need to become a leader of the team because people are going to be watching. Are you going to become an issue for them somehow?
No, I don't think he will. No. I don't think he will. In Minnesota, they had gave Thielen, I don't know what it was, but they gave Thielen
they
a bag.
Yeah.
And if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at you give him a bag and I ask for my bag and you frown upon me, then I got to get out of here.
And Thielen winds up in Carolina as a cast-off.
God bless Thielen. Yeah. He's a good player. But he wasn't Stephon Diggs.
No, he was not. Okay, so my bottom line here is, while it was a great pickup for
the Texans,
I can't condemn the move for Buffalo. I don't think it's a bad idea to get rid of and start fresh.
No, it's not.
Now it's up to your man, Brandon Bean, to go find somebody plausible, somebody credible.
Well, that's why I said to you, Skip, you asked me if it was a mistake. No, I don't think it's a mistake. No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's a game for the Texans.
That's what it is.
It's a game for the Texans.
Right
it's not
place,
a mistake.
Right
it's
time.
Not a mistake for Buffalo. It's just a game for the Texans.
With you. The Lakers had a little late scare last night at Washington, but still won pretty easily playing back-to-back on the road to cap off a 5-1 road trip with five games to go. So, Paul Pierce, I ask you, are you seeing a bona fide, take-them-to-the-bank, trustable Western Conference contender?
As bad as I hate to say this, Skip, I do. You know why? Is that if they can avoid Denver, I can't see anybody beating the Lakers in the seven-game series, especially when you look at the top of the teams they're going to play. Minnesota, OKC, I don't trust them against the Lakers, especially with the way Anthony Davis is playing. And then you go from there, you say the Clippers, Dallas. I mean, they can possibly beat anybody in the Western Conference in the seven-game series. And when I see AD play like this, you know what LeBron's going to bring. And what the role players have been doing, they had a great road trip. It seems like they're playing off one another better. They're getting consistent ball movement since I've called out LeBron. about, you know, getting his teammates more involved. I think they've been playing a lot better, but the number that stands out to me is when Anthony Davis is out here being dominant. 15 free throws. That's the number I look at. 15 free throws.
And guess what? He made every one of them.
That's a big number. If Anthony Davis gets to the line, that shows me how aggressive he's being on the offensive end, which LeBron wants. He wants AD to take the lead. If he's taking the lead, giving you these numbers to where now LeBron can settle into 20 points, get his assists and rebounds.
Yep.
It makes life easier for the Lakers, especially when the ball movement is there. The role players are contributing. But my concern is the defense for them. You know, you give up 120 points, and yeah, it's a lot closer than it should have been. But on this road trip, they've given up a lot of points, but they've scored a lot of points, too, on the flip side. But against the better teams, they're going to have to dig in and find a way to play defense because their defense hasn't been too shabby. But offensively, they've looked great, and there's no team in the Western Conference that I can say for sure outside the Denver Nuggets and maybe the Sacramento Kings. Mm. If they can avoid them in the play-in,
that's true. Yeah.
Then the Lakers got a shot.
Mm.
They certainly got a shot. And I don't want to avoid Denver. I want to get them early.
Really?
I don't disagree with that.
I want to get them early. Yeah. Because if you look at it, one of the things you say, Paul, is if we could avoid Denver, you got to go back to thinking about LeBron a year ago. I know, Skip, he spends $2 million on his body. Okay, I got it. He ran out of gas. Late. He had played Memphis.
Golden State.
And then Denver.
6-6 and then
yeah, but
four.
So if you get them early,
yeah.
That's way better than getting them late.
Okay. I get it.
You see what I'm saying? As far as for LeBron.
Right.
Now, 15 straight free throws. I mean, made 15 free throws. But LeBron James was 7-9 at the free throw line.
Yep.
Okay.
I like the nine.
He was 7-9. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you start to look at it, he took 1 3-point shot. Maybe he's listening to Paul. Maybe he's understanding what he's saying. He only shot the ball 18 total times. It was 9-18.
Yeah, I like the shot distribution amongst the team.
I do, too.
But also, Austin Reeves came to play. D'Lo came to play. Everybody pitched in. You know, they've won. What have they won? They've won 8 of the last 10.
Eight of nine.
Mm-hmm.
Since losing back-to-back. Yeah. They won 8 of 9.
So they've won 8 of the 10. That's tied for the best record in a 10-game stretch.
Yep.
So when you start looking at them, there feels like to me, they're starting to get to their groove. Now look, Paul said it. They could go 6-0, or they can go 5-1 on that road trip. They went 5-1.
No, but I said a great road trip was 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
I said they get 4-2, but they go 5-1.
And some of the teams that they played, okay, whatever. This next little trip that they got at home.
Yeah.
They got 3 straight games with Cleveland, Minnesota, and OKC. Golden State.
Warriors.
If they can go 2-1 right there, and then they go on the road to Memphis and the Pelicans, by then the Pelicans probably, last game of the season, they probably don't.
I don't know, unless it's for a seed. It could be for a spot.
A play-in spot.
Yeah,
because they're sitting in the 7th seed. So the Lakers could easily, in the last 5 games, be a 4-1 team.
But they could be 5-0.
Or 5-0.
They well could
be. And so they're only a couple games out of the 6th spot and a game and a half out of the 7th spot.
Bingo.
So there's a lot to play for.
And New Orleans is not playing well. No. Zion left the game.
He banged up his hand, and they're going to have it MRI'd.
Phoenix got a hell of a schedule coming up.
Yeah.
It's possible they could push to the 6th.
And I'm not trying to avoid the Joker. Give him to me. If I'm AD, because AD's playing good right now.
Right.
So if you're playing that good, you want to get him while you're hot.
While you're in rhythm.
While you're in rhythm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. While you're in rhythm. While LeBron has this, you know, his mentals is there. He's not fatigued. And I know, Skip, yes, he spends $2
billion. $2 million.
He might have upped it to 3.
All right, here's what I loved about last night. And I know it was only the Wizards, but I do remind you, just the night before in that same building, they did beat Milwaukee without Dame and Patrick Beverley, but they did beat Giannis in Milwaukee. So it's not 1-2-3 Cancun just yet for the Wizards.
1-2-3 Cancun.
And so here came the Lakers, and you know they want to beat the Lakers at home. They'd get a kick out. It's just like one last little thing that they did right this season that's been a lost season for them. AD and LeBron James came out smelling blood last night. They came out playing hellacious hard. And LeBron was in full-on attack mode, and he was attacking the rim like crazy. And he wasn't getting the calls early, and he got real profane with one of the referees screaming at him.
Right.
And it seemed to work a little bit because they started giving him more calls. But I'm going to give you one number about Anthony Davis last night. So you realize he went 35-18. He also had two blocks, and let me get the blocks. Yeah, he had three blocks and two steals. Okay, so over the last 2 years, would you believe that AD now has five games of 35-15, 2-2, two steals and two blocks? He has five of those. Over the last 2 years, there are only three other players who have two of those kind of games, and that's Embiid and Giannis and Joker, okay? So he's got five to their two over the last 2 years. It shows you when he is right, when he is locked and loaded, he is a force. And I saw a force last night.
He had 18 rebounds last night, too.
18 rebounds? And again, it's just the Wizards. But he was destroying the Wizards inside the way he can play. That's why if you put him against Joker, as skilled as Joker is, as clever as Joker is, AD can hold his own because he's got stature to him. He plays strong. He plays bigger than he is. Because I think he only measures like, isn't he like 6'10-ish or so?
No, he's really tall. That's what I do know.
I don't think he's more than about 6'10".
He's long as hell, though.
He's long, but he plays 7'2". Mm-hmm. And he plays physical basketball when he is plugged in. And he has been plugged in down this stretch. He is making them a different team because he's turned them into a contender just by himself.
But he's got to want to play that way against the Joker, though.
I mean, that's the best. The best way to defend Joker is to attack him on offense. If you can somehow say, look, if they match up with him, this will be my strategy. I'm going to Anthony Davis all first quarter. We're going to see if we can get Joker in foul trouble.
Well, all he did last night was score 19 in the first quarter.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I could have held Anthony Davis to those numbers. I mean, right now, today. Today. Well, I mean, I probably would have fouled him enough to give him 15 free throws.
You might have. Yeah.
But against the Joker, it's a different animal.
All right. And the other thing I loved about LeBron, he was playing freight train, physical, attack the basket basketball. And on Avdija, he goes with the elbow. I think we have it that he got a flagrant on. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I liked it that he got the flagrant because that shows you he's in full on attack mode, man.
It looked like that hurt.
Yeah.
Man, come on. Not selling for threes because you got to understand, he just off a couple games ago, he went 9-10 for three.
Yeah.
And then the next couple games.
He's only shot two threes in his consecutive game, one in each of the last two games.
Yeah.
I think
just showing me attacking right now, and this is what they need. This is the LeBron
in the face. Woo.
Yeah, it looked like it hurt.
It looked like it hurt. But listen, if he's in that attack mode through the playoffs, there's nobody can keep him from the rim. I don't care who you are.
But he was in that attack mode last year. The problem is, as we said, the last five or so minutes of each one of those games in Denver, whether it was in L.A. or Denver, whatever the gas tank was, it just all of a sudden ran out of gas.
Okay.
Had no legs underneath him. That's why I would rather see Denver earlier than late.
Goats don't run out of gas, but whatever. He hit the wall. He hit the wall. And he was not very good. He was 7 of 23 in those four fourth quarters. And I know he's better than that. And if he can play some better than that, they can win those games because they almost won all four of those games.
They're going to need Anthony Davis to take the lead, though. He allows him to take the lead, and he can carry them pretty deep in the playoffs. So.
And by the way, Gabe Vincent had a very quiet 14 minutes last night and did nothing, took one shot and missed it. But I like it that he played 14 minutes because he is getting his legs underneath him.
Speaking of minutes, you don't ever want to see LeBron having to play 36 minutes.
And that's another
because
problem.
Because you're going to lose if he don't play.
Okay, but he did play 36 minutes against the Wizards.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Okay.
You don't want to have
and
that against the Wizards.
By the way, he and AD got pulled, and then all of a sudden you look up, and the 14-point lead had gone all the way down to five, and Darvin Ham had to put them both back in the game.
You got to hope LeBron don't run out of gas here toward the end of this season, too, with the heavy lifting and the heavy minutes. You look at their schedule. These is games they got to win coming up with the Cavs, mm-hmm. with Minnesota, with Warriors.
Yeah.
He's going to play probably 38 to 40 minutes in these games coming up. So you just hope they're not going to ever going to be able to find him no rest, it doesn't look like, toward this end of the stretch of the season.
Well, it doesn't look like he wants any. I don't know.
I mean, you know, just at 39, you just figure like, oh, he gets to the playoffs. He ran out of gas last year. Maybe something had to do with the regular season. I guess right now he's in a rhythm. He's playing 30, 40 minutes a game. You got to keep it going then, I guess.
Okay.
They
also,
have no time. They have no time to rest.
In the regular
That's
season,
my concern.
Regular season last year toward the end of the season, remember, he was banged up. He had missed a little bit of time. And then they rolled into the playoffs. And although they rolled through Memphis, the Memphis games wasn't just a wash. He was dealing with Dylan Brooks.
He was. Kinda,
you know, all of that. And then the Golden State, even though we beat Golden State, he had to play.
Yeah.
He had to play for us to be able to win. And he had to play a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that'll be the case now, Paul. If we get what we're supposed to get in terms of our matchups, mm-hmm. that we're going to see him run out of gas. That's why you want the best teams early to get them out the way.
Right.
Why you in rhythm and you fresh.
That makes sense.
Okay,
you know?
So I'm going to warn you.
Okay, warn me.
LeBron James has played the fifth most minutes per game in the NBA this year at age 39, year 21. Fifth most minutes.
Yeah, he's a GOAT.
Does that scare you going forward?
No.
Okay.
No, the reason it doesn't scare me, Skip, because as we sit here right now, the only thing we worried about, we continue to talk about Denver, 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 Denver. If we are to go to the championship, it's Denver. No, we're not saying Sacramento, whatever, if we could avoid them because they got our number and the one-game deals and all that. But Denver's the team. We saw Denver at the end. Mm-hmm. We get Denver early, mm-hmm. and then let's see what happens if we get them early.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather get them earlier than late because we'll run out of gas if we get them late. We will run out of gas if we got him late.
We as in LeBron will?
As the Lakers.
Okay. So would you say then he has a legitimate excuse of he's played too many minutes for deep playoff run?
No, I just think a combination of minutes, 39 years old, carrying the weight on you of your team, playing, that stuff's fatigue, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, Skip, you play golf, okay? It's fatigue. You will be fatigued all of a sudden. You got to hit a shot to catch somebody else on a hole. Amount of pressure comes to you. It wears you out.
Mm.
It wears you out.
Okay. I don't want to hear any more excuses.
There's no excuses.
I just don't want to hear it because playing the fifth most minutes has gotten you to date the 9 seed. That's where you're still in 9th place. So you played the fifth most minutes because they needed you. Or did you need it just to pass 40,000 points?
Maybe that was a goal of the organization, mm-hmm. a goal of his.
I thought the goal was to manage his minutes.
No,
to protect.
But maybe the goal was to get to the 40,000 points. The goal was to win the in-season tournament at that point in time. That was probably a goal. And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that as long as they get into the playoffs.
The most important thing is just to get in healthy, really.
Yeah.
I don't really think the Lakers should even look at the season. You know, if they're a playing team, they're a playing team.
Man, they can beat everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
They can beat everybody on here.
Yeah, they can.
You know what? LeBron said that after the game last night. When he was asked about it, he said, I don't care what seed we are.
Yeah.
I care about staying in rhythm.
When you're older, that is the most important thing is your health. Mm-hmm. And staying in rhythm. Mm-hmm. Like, look, guys, don't worry about who we plan to play in. Let's just try to be consistent toward the end of this season to where we get a rhythm. Let's try to be healthy and let the chips fall where they may.
That's what he said.
That's what this is all about for the Lakers as their aging star moves into the end of this season. And so
you think the Timberwolves scare the Lakers? No.
No.
The Thunder? No. The Clippers, they beat the Clippers 3 times this year.
They did.
Okay, I'm not afraid. I don't know what they think about the Mavs. I don't care about no Luka and Kyrie.
Right on schedule.
Do it for me.
By the way, Kawhi's got some knee issue right on schedule because he's always got some kind of issue.
Oh, my God, really? I didn't know that.
He does. Well, he's out right now.
Yeah, you're not scared of the Pelicans now? I mean, like the Kings, whatever that is on a one-game deal, whatever that is, one game.
Yeah.
Whatever, they can't beat them in one game. What did they beat us? 8 out of the last 9 shots or something like that?
8 out of 9? But if I had to put a whole lot of money on a 7-game series between the Lakers and the Kings, I'm taking the Lakers. I just am.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
And by the way, they have lost starter in Kevin Huerter, and you scoff, but he's been pretty good for them.
Yeah, Kevin Huerter's been okay.
And Malik Monk is out until the end of the year, the end of the regular season, so I don't know how he's going to be in the playoffs. So all of a sudden, attrition is taking its toll because the Pelicans are reeling because they don't have Brandon Ingram because he's got a knee, and now we just mentioned Zion's got a hand.
They're struggling. Okay. I mean, everything is falling into place and lining up for the Lakers to make a run.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you feel good, Keyshawn?
Yeah, I was just mentally trying to figure out how to line this up, but I can't.
The roadmap.
I really can't figure it out till the season's over with.
Hey, all I know is if you win the last 5, the chips will fall great for you because you're going to wind up in a real good spot. That's right. Because those teams will come back to you some.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to the National Football League because the best NFL team in the state of Texas is now ... You know where this is going. Keyshawn, right to the point. The best NFL team in the state of Texas is now ... The
Houston Texans.
Whew.
The Houston Texans are the best professional football team in Texas.
Good. You listening, up, Jerry? You listening?
Followed up by the Texas Longhorns as the second best football team. Wow. Not NFL team, but football team.
Jerry, did you hear that?
Texas. And when you know, in all seriousness, though, when you look at the grand scheme of things and D'Amico Ryans and what they put together in the offseason in Houston, oh, my God. I was thinking about it when the question came up. In my mind, I looked at the roster, just the player, the notable guys. They got better players. They literally got better players.
They do. They do.
And they blew out the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs last year. They didn't get blew out.
Mm-mm.
They took the other team to the woodshed.
They did.
And so I sat there and I said, I looked. And then I believe at some point, they had Baltimore kind of trembling a little bit.
They had them trembling.
C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott, C.J.'s young. Dak Prescott has a little more, you know, a little more experience at it. But that's, you know, you can chalk that up to a wash.
Mm-hmm.
If you really wanted to, you could say that's a wash, Skip. If you really wanted to. Never mind the age difference or experience difference, but if you just saw the Pepsi Coca-Cola test and you said,
that's a good one. That's
who
true.
Is that? Yeah. You'd be like, man, I'll take that guy.
Like the blind test?
The blind
test. Yeah.
Joe Mixon is better than y'all running backs. Let's not even go there. Y'all don't have one.
Nope.
You know, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, you know.
I mean, I'll take CeeDee, but I give you it's close.
You'll take CeeDee based on his production last year and Stephon Diggs' production that fell off at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's close. Tank Dell, Brandon Cook. Nico Collins and Tolbert. I got Nico Collins.
I do too.
So you look at it. Dalton Schultz, Jake Ferguson, probably leaning toward Dalton Schultz. Laremy Tunsil versus Tyler Smith. We already know where that's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Will Anderson, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Ooh.
You know, you got Danielle Hunter, Micah Parsons, right? Mm. You got Trayvon Diggs and Daryl Stingley Jr.
Ooh.
And Jimmy Ward and Deron Bland.
Ooh.
So when you look at it, the Texans got the better frontline guys.
Yep.
They just do. And I believe in all of everything, they got the better head coach.
No doubt.
I believe. Well, you don't like Mike McCarthy.
But they just do.
Better coach.
They do.
So they got the better team, Skip. You lose.
They got the better leader at head coach. They have the better commander at head coach.
Absolutely.
I like his body language on the field.
They play for him.
They do.
They don't play against him. They play for him.
No. Mike McCarthy is just a bump on the sideline log. He just goes along for the ride. I do think he's a pretty good to sometimes very good play caller, but he needs a quarterback to execute said plays. And if we do it right here, right now, it's like 50-50 between CJ and Dak. But on the if we're betting on the come, if we're looking at next year and the next year, CJ will be better than Dak Prescott.
Again, I'm not looking at the experience level because it's not fair when you go, he played 9 years and he's a rookie. I'm just, much like you saying, a couple years from now, that conversation won't come up.
Mm-mm.
All right? I only see CJ getting better and better.
I do, too.
I'll go on the record and say, and I like Dak. You know how I feel about him. I like him. CJ will have more postseason success in his career than Dak Prescott will.
I mean, in a way, he's already off to the races because they were really good against Cleveland.
I wouldn't be shocked again if the Texans somehow are in the AFC Championship game next season.
You already said they're better than Baltimore.
I think they are. Baltimore has lost a ton of stuff.
They have.
Okay?
They usually replace tons of stuff on the fly.
They have.
It's like an assembly line in Baltimore.
They have in the past, more so at the running back position than anything, they've replaced it. But when you lose three starting offensive linemen, that's hard to replace. When you you lose Jadeveon Clowney, who had double-digit sacks for you and had a certain energy level, and Patrick Queen at a certain energy level, lose that, that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it is. So I don't really know. You know, the argument could be flip-flop. Either it's going to be Baltimore or it's going to be Houston. Kansas City's at the top, but it's going outside of that, some people are going to pick Houston, some people are going to pick Baltimore for the number two slot in the AFC.
All right. I cannot fight you on this one at all. The Texans, as we speak, right here, right now, as is, are better. I'll just say they're a little better than the Dallas Cowboys.
They're a lot better.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys still have some talent. If the cupboard's not bare.
Your left tackle ain't even close to Laremy Tunsil.
No.
You got to protect the quarterback.
Because our first ballot Hall of Fame left tackle is a Jet.
But you don't have him no more. We're only talking about right now, Skip.
I got it. And we lost a very good center to Washington.
Yeah.
Biotis is really good. We lost a pretty good running back in Tony Pollard, and I don't see how we're going to replace him unless we draft somebody.
But you don't want Tony Pollard back, though.
Well, he suffered a career-threatening injury in that playoff game 2 years ago at San Francisco, and he never quite got his burst back last year, but he was still pretty good, and they're going to have to replace him. We lost a linebacker who did make a Pro Bowl. I'm talking about Wolf Hunter. Yeah.
Oh.
And Stephon Gilmore is still sitting out there unsigned, and I don't know if Jerry's just kind of waiting him out.
He's getting ready to Carolina, I think.
He had been in the mix there. He was talking to them, visited there, but I never heard the end of it.
I think it's
so
close.
So I'm going to guess that we're going to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, and replace with what? What are we doing? We signed our backup offensive tackle yesterday. Okay, and Edoga, when he played left tackle last year in place of Tyron Smith, he was pretty good because it was pretty quiet over there. Okay, so that's all I got. We signed the linebacker that is Coach Zimmer's linebacker from Minnesota, and I'm like, okay, and? Because he's just sort of a coach on the field. He's just
good. That's not just a little better. That's not what you say to me, that you signed a veteran linebacker who best days is left in the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
That is a fact.
That's not, Texans aren't just a little better.
Yeah. And when I look at the Texans receiver room.
The room.
It is spilling over with receivers that we don't have.
No.
So the depth at receiver is way advantage Houston.
Well,
Texans.
You go Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and if you want to throw Noah Brown in the mix, throw Noah Brown in there because
he wasn't very good for us, but he was good for them.
Yeah, and he's in the room. And then you say Dalton Schultz is in the room.
He's in the room, and he's a veteran tight end. Listen, Jake Ferguson came on, and he is a baller.
And he's going to be, and he's going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
But Dalton Schultz is pretty ripe right now.
Look, we got one baller on our team, one guy I trust, one guy who's got that dog in him.
CeeDee Lamb?
That's CeeDee Lamb. That's the guy. I'm not even sure what Micah is made of yet. I'm still not sure because every year he tails off at the end of the year. Do I see his spectacular ability? Sure I do. It leaps out of the screen every game to
me. But they went and got Danielle Hunter.
They got Danielle Hunter. And you want to talk about productivity? Yeah. Go look at his productivity versus Micah's. And he's been a little more productive than Micah has start to finish.
So that's not a little bit better than Skip?
Okay. All right. I'm trying to hang in and defend
as best I
can. That's
not my fault. You can't defend it. There's nothing to defend.
Yeah. And then I keep reading about these mock drafts where everybody's got Dallas trading out of the 23rd pick. And I'm saying, you can't. My friend Phil Yates at ESPN, they just put up one this morning. And he's got Dallas trading out of the pick. I forget who went up to get it. Oh, San Francisco went up to get the tackle from Georgia, the left tackle. And I'm saying, we need him. You know, we can't afford to trade back because we don't have some picks down the line. Well, who cares? We better use our first-round pick and use our second-round pick to take starters.
Well, you might you trade out of it, get a couple second-round picks.
Okay, but you better
can have
be careful.
A starter.
Okay, but listen, you're down huge in the offensive line. Two really good players.
Yeah, but
players.
You can get an offensive lineman in the second round.
Okay, yeah, but you better. If somebody's left on the board who is a flat-out, bona fide, guaranteed, slam dunk, gotta have, you better take him. That's because they're
he's
desperate.
He's not going to be on the board in the 20s if he's a slam dunk, Skip.
That's what I'm saying.
He's
no, I mean if he gets there. I don't know. This draft is loaded.
That's why you, because if it's so loaded, you move
you know
out.
Why? I know, but
you can still get the value on your pick later
but
on.
But it's so loaded with quarterbacks because, listen.
Yeah, we three quarterbacks. Don't listen to that.
Okay, but no, there's four. You don't like J.J. McCarthy. Look hard at J.J. McCarthy. I like him.
You're going to get fired.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to get anybody fired. I don't. I think Drake May can
get
you fired.
I'm usually not wrong when it comes to quarterbacks.
Okay, well, I'm usually not wrong when it comes to quarterbacks.
You're going to get fired.
Go look at my record.
In the top five.
Really? Okay, I'll be on record. Yeah. Okay, you like Drake May better than J.J.?
I do. I do. Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
Drake, maybe. That's what I think he is. Yeah.
You're just looking at the number, the team, North Carolina, and Mitch Trubisky.
No, I watched him. I watched him. He's got some Carson Wentz in him. He doesn't have command of the position. People are falling in love with what he is.
Was really good for his first several years.
Yeah, and then what happened? Maybe he had one little stretch for Philadelphia, and then he lost it.
Took them and put them in position to go and win a Super Bowl.
Did he win it?
He got hurt. They won 14 games at the number one seed, and he tore his ACL in L.A. against the Rams.
You know what? He would have unraveled in the postseason in ways Nick Foles did not. That's what would have happened.
you guys.
Okay. We'll see about that. But my point is, when you got the Michael Penixes and the Bo Nixes, it's going to push people down because they're going to go higher than you're talking about. They're going to go in the middle of the round.
They may be second, third round type guys.
So you got, but I'm saying they're going to go in the top whatever 15 or 20 picks. You got six quarterbacks that are going to go. They will.
I would say you're going to probably get six quarterbacks in the top 50 players in this year's draft.
Okay, but you're saying that the Penixes and the Bo Nixes are going to go second and third round?
Yeah, they're in that mix, man. They're not in the first round.
They're going to go. Just watch. There are too many teams needy at quarterback.
Yeah, but they're not first round type talent.
I'll buy that.
So that's a second, third round. There's nothing wrong with that. It's top 50.
Yeah.
They're top 50 players.
Boy, there are five good offensive linemen who are going to be their potential Pro Bowl offensive linemen.
But
will get pushed down to Dallas.
Your issue is just not offensive linemen. Your issue is left tackle.
I know. I got
That's
it.
The issue.
Yeah.
And if you can get a left tackle with a grade similar to the highest graded left tackle, if somebody's graded at a 9 and you got somebody on the board at a 7.5 and you can get him in the mid-second round, what's wrong with that?
Okay, but when they knew Tyler Smith before anybody really knew Tyler Smith.
I understand.
And that was a first-round pick, and it was a home run.
Yeah, but they can also pick up guys in the lighter rounds, too,
okay.
That could be
home
runs.
I'm just saying you're in a desperation situation, as you just outlined and detailed. You better be careful about trade. Here's what happens when you trade back. You say, we're sitting on so-and-so in the second round, and so-and-so gets nabbed by somebody ahead of you because you risk trading back.
Yeah, but you only trading back because you see them falling, Skip.
Yeah.
You see them coming to you. So you say to yourself,
you better be right.
I could trade back and still pick him up. Or I could trade up and go get him.
Yeah. Okay, I'm already on record about my Dallas Cowboys. As they stand, unless they pull off some shocking maneuvers in and around the draft, I don't see them making the playoffs next year. I don't. They've lost too much and gained nothing. And all I hear is, we got to sign CD. We got to sign Micah. Okay,
but if you're not, but if you think, and so you're getting ready to sit here and tell me that they're the fourth best team in the NFC East?
In the East?
Yeah.
No.
Are they the third best team
in
the NFC
East? No, but I mean, if they go 8-9, they could easily miss the playoffs.
So you think this is an 8-9 football team?
I do, absolutely. As we sit here right now, they're 8-9.
No, they're not 8-9.
They are 8-9.
Come on now.
Well, you just made the case the Texans are way better than
they are. That doesn't mean that Texans are in the AFC.
Okay.
Y'all in the NFC.
So?
What you think the stronger conference is?
Well, the quarterbacks are all in the AFC.
Which is the stronger conference.
Yeah.
This is a weak conference you're in. Okay, it's not a strong conference.
So you think we're a weak team in a weak conference, right? We'll be
well,
one
you
of
could
the,
be a weak team in a weak conference.
We'll be
yes.
less weak than other teams.
You might win. You might win 11 games.
11 games. There is no way. You just went through it. You just said no.
But you're talking about a team in the AFC versus a team in the NFC. You're talking about a division that's the Philadelphia Eagles, which got significantly better. Washington, everything is new. Okay, the Giants,
listen,
I don't even know what that is.
Washington will be a factor. They're going to win some games just because they got momentum.
They don't even know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. They're going to have a rookie quarterback. Yeah? Well, I think they're going to have Jaden Daniels, and you love him. He's your guy.
I guess they would. If Chicago takes Caleb at two, I'm sure Jaden Daniels will fall in there.
Okay, you don't think Jaden would win some games for Washington next year?
It's hard to win games as a rookie.
Oh, now you're discounting Jaden Daniels. I thought you'd say
go do something else, man.
I watched Baker Mayfield as a raw rookie win 7 games for a team that went 0-16.
It's hard to win games as a rookie.
I guess that means Baker Mayfield's way better than people give him credit for. Huh.
God.
Interesting.